Today's teaching by Pastor Kevin Myers is entitled A Financial Breakthrough, Week 2. This teaching is part of the series I Need a Breakthrough. To receive any additional copies of this message or to receive any past teachings, please contact 12 Stone Church at 678-990-8100 or visit us on the web at 12stone.com.
Well, I'm already amped up. Travis has something coming. He hasn't even told me what it is. You excited about that? Of course you are. He's always a little off the wall, so this should be interesting. So here we are, a financial breakthrough, week 2 of 3. Has this ever happened to you? Raise your hand if it has. Have you ever wanted something and then somebody else got it? Has that ever happened to you? Raise your hand. See, that's familiar, isn't it? Man, I've always loved Porsche cars. Man, Porsche, they're sweet. Couple doors down, neighbor pulls up with a 911, black 911. I'm like, gorgeous. Neighbor, four doors down. Marsha and I, we've talked to him about pool. Hadn't done anything about it for 10 years, probably never will. But, you know, he said, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? And here's this little pool sign now right in front of our neighbor's house construction. I guess they get the pool. There's a sweet trailer, black chrome, carries a couple Harley Davidsons. I've looked at it every bike show I've gone to. My brother and I, we've talked about it. It's got the V-front dual axle, the drop ramp. I'm like, that'd be so sweet. I kid you not, 1 month ago, my next door neighbor bought the exact trailer. It's parked out in front. I drive by it every day. You know what I'm talking about? Just, has that ever happened to you? I mean, maybe it's as simple as a cell phone, a computer, some clothes. Somebody else got a promotion. They got success. I was talking with a friend of mine. He also planted a church several years ago. His church is a little young. And ours, a little bigger than ours. He's got twice the home I have. Hey, but you know what? I know people that have less than me. You know people that have less than you. But isn't it interesting how we tend to pay attention to the people who have something more than us? Huh? Isn't that interesting about us? I got another question for you. If you could teach your kids only 10 things, what would you teach them? You got to pick 10 things. What would you teach? I'm asking because God took a moment to teach us 10 things, the 10 commandments. And do you know what the 10th one is? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. What's covet? I mean, that's that whole green envy thing. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's car. I know they didn't have cars in the Old Testament. Okay, don't covet their donkey. That's what it really says. But don't you wonder, didn't that, was there like a Porsche donkey? Jesus, like neighbors show up and say, oh, dude, look, he got the Porsche donkey. I mean, I don't know. But that's the whole idea. And don't covet your neighbor's pool, your neighbor's trailer, your neighbor's spouse. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. How are we doing with that? I mean, even as a nation, how are we doing with that? I mean, it seems like we make coveting a hobby now, huh? I mean, we empower people. I mean, if you don't have something, you deserve it, right? Am I really a victim if somebody has something I don't have? Really, that makes me a victim? Hey, do you ever demonize other people because they have stuff you don't? Rather than deal with your own covetous spirit? See, I think in the New Testament, God was trying to help us with that. Over in the book of Timothy, grab your Bibles here across the campuses and turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, page 1195. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Bible's right underneath your chair, page 1195, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 6. Follow along with me. Here it is. But godliness with contentment, hey, say it with me, godliness with what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money, but the love of it. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, hear this. Some people eager for money. Hey, listen. Some people eager for stuff have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves. with many griefs. You got, listen. Money, this subject is so serious that it can cause you to wander from God. That's how major this is. And there is a recipe for winning with money that is biblical and universal. And I know no better chef than Dave Ramsey. I'm telling you, he delivered a video teaching that is so good. You have to hear this. I have to bring this to you. You have to. I know it's unique today, but I want you to get this. You got to get up to the table. You got to take this in, and you've got to digest this teaching. So grab your teaching notes, everybody. Just here, across the campuses, grab your teaching notes, flip to the backhand side. You in the cafe theater talking to you too. Come on, get your notes in front of you, flip it over. And I want you to write a couple things right at the top of your notes. First thing I want you to write is take notice. Take what? Take notice. Because listen, take notice. The Spirit of God, as Dave teaches, is going to arrest your attention. I want you to take notice. God's going to say, I want you to take notice. Right now, God's speaking to you. It's going to be a moment, maybe one, two, or three in this teaching. Write take notice right at the top, and then write take action. Take what? Listen, when we get all done, we'll come back. We'll chat about this. But you got to take action. Nothing's going to change unless you change. You have to do something with this. So you got your notes in front of you. Lean forward. Lean into this teaching next 30 minutes as Dave unpacks the five basic principles of biblical finance. Enjoy.
Well, thank you. That's cool. You guys are awesome. You're awesome. Well, I am so honored to be here. This is an incredible opportunity to get to share with you today and share with the folks all around the world through this process that Craig and his team has put together. It is an amazing thing to step back and see what God is doing all around the world. I get to travel a lot and see a lot of this kind of stuff, and it's happening out there. You don't see it on the news, but it's happening out there. It's happening. And I get to travel to places like this and get to see people like you. And we're going to talk a little bit about money today. You know what I found out about money? Money's fun. If you got some. You know, and you know, the other thing I found out about money is most people, well, aren't doing real good. You know? I mean, if you've made big time mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12. Most people have. How many of you ever done something stupid? Raise your hand. Yeah, man, I tell you, how many of you didn't raise your hand have a problem with lying? I mean, it's a real deal out there. It's easy to fall over in this money thing. And the weird thing is we all think everybody else is the one that has got it together and we're the only stupid one. The devil has lied to us. He's told us this shame and guilt story about ourselves and made us believe it. When I went broke 20 years ago and lost everything and had to start completely over, I believed I was the only one that had ever done something that stupid, that completely out of control. And I did go broke. I've got a PhD in DUMB. I am fully qualified to teach this stuff. I started with nothing and grew up not rich. How many of you guys grew up not rich? I grew up not rich, and I remember graduating from college broke and married my beautiful wife, Sharon. We started off broke. We were eating off a card table, driving a 1902 Pinto. Now, you remember how you start out. You know what I'm talking about. We ain't got money, honey, but we got love. And it's a good thing, too, because we ain't got no money. And I started buying and selling real estate. This was back in the 80s, 20 years ago. And I was pretty good at it. I'm kind of a math nerd, and I grew up in the real estate business. And by the time I was 26 years old, I had a little over $1 million in real estate, net worth $4 million in real estate, making $250,000 a year. It was fun. We were having a blast. You know, sometimes I hear these people say, all those rich people are miserable. Uh-uh. Now, I'm not here to tell you money's going to make you happy, and I'm not here to tell you it makes you a good Christian or any of that kind of stuff. That's not my gig. It's not what I do. I don't have enough hair to teach that material. But the truth is, the thing is that I have found, though, is that as we made all of that money, it didn't fix our lives. It just made us more of who we already were. The moral of the story is, if you get rich and you're a jerk, you just become a colossal jerk. If you get rich and you have a big heart, they call you a giver, and they give it a big long name, a philanthropist. If you get rich, you become more of what you are as you build wealth. So be careful of what you are. We learned that on the way up, and we learned it on the way down. Because I'd borrowed too much money, and the bank got sold to another bank, and they called our notes. Step up on this rug, and we will pull it. And I went, yes, that's me. Young and stupid. And I did it. And they called our notes. Not because we had done anything wrong, not because we'd done anything illegal or immoral. They freaked out. Bankers freak out sometimes. Have y'all noticed? And we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. We were sued and foreclosed on, and finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler and a marriage hanging on by a thread, we were bankrupt. This stuff will mess with your marriage, won't it? Number one cause of divorce in North America today, money fights and money problems. Number one thing people fight about in their marriage is money. Well, we did. Sharon would have left, but she just didn't have the money. I mean, we fought, baby. We didn't get a divorce. We held on to each other, but sometimes it was just to get a better grip. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's from the hills of East Tennessee. Frying pan throwing there is an Olympic event. And we hit bottom. I was on one of these news stations. I do all this TV work these days, and one of these talking heads asked me the other day, so you started with nothing and you became a millionaire and then you lost everything and now you're a multimillionaire. So how did you bounce back? I was like, dude, when you fall that far, you really don't bounce. It's more of a splat. I sat around, blamed everybody else. You ever blame everybody else when you do something stupid? It's kind of a problem in our culture today, you know. Turns out McDonald's does serve hot coffee. So, you know, I sat there, and the weird thing was, is I do everything backwards. I didn't grow up in church, and I met God on the way up. Most people meet him, you know, at the bottom of their mess, right? But I met him on the way up. I got to know him on the way down. It'll teach you. This thing called pain, it'll make you open a Bible. See, I've got all these letters and licenses and things after my name that says I'm supposed to know something about money. And there I sat, broke. No money. And then this guy told me the Bible had some stuff to say about money. And I went, really? Okay. I'll try that one. Mine didn't work. And I started studying people like Larry Burkett and Ron Blue and many of the other great writers in Christianity around the world that have opened the scriptures for us on this subject. And I discovered this really easy stuff. It's easy to understand, and it works every time, but it's really hard to do. Because biblical finance, like so many other things, personal finance, the attributes and things you need in your life to be able to win with money, well, it's about 80% behavior. It's only about 20% head knowledge. Most of you know what to do. You're just not doing it. You're like me. The problem with my money is this idiot I shave with. The guy in my mirror is my issue. If I can get him to behave, he can be skinny and rich. So the stuff we're going to talk about out of the Bible, it's not like hard to understand. It's devastatingly easy to understand. You're going to be going, oh, good, I had a V8. It really does work that way. It's pretty easy stuff. So, you know, we're going to write some of this down, and we're going to think about it as we go. I want to cover 5 of the basics of biblical finance. Some of the first things I learned, and I still believe they're probably the most important things I've ever learned in my life about money, and I have learned a lot about money over the years. But this stuff, if you do these 5 things, it works every single time. It'll take some time. Now, if you're looking for easy, it's not going to work. We don't sell microwaves here. We sell crockpots. It's going to take a while. You got to cook it a while, but it'll taste better. Have you noticed most things in your spiritual life are that way? They're not instantaneous. You don't get this zzz, and all of a sudden you're a perfect husband. Didn't work that way. No, took 27 years and still not even close to the word perfect. I'm working on the P part still. But, you know, it's a process, isn't it? And this thing called money is the same exact thing. But to the extent you and your family will engage in these five activities, you will win with money. First thing you want to do if you want to win with money is you need to learn to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Now, that's pretty basic stuff. No kidding, Dave. That's a great idea. But, you know, the truth is debt equals risk. I have done detailed research, in-depth research, and I have found out that 100% of the foreclosures occur on homes with a mortgage. Debt equals risk. The way the Bible says that, it says the borrower is slave to the lender. You ever felt that way? Oh, I felt that way. I know what that feels like. It's called less than fun. You know, slaves don't have any options. They have to do what they're told. They put bumper stickers on their car that says, I owe, so off to work I go. They're stuck. Slaves have to keep a job they hate because they got to pay the bills. Slaves aren't really generous people either. It's hard for them to give. It's hard to give when you can't hardly just pay the bills that you owe. Got a lot of masters in your life. It's hard to serve two masters, Jesus said. You hearing the Bible ringing through this? It's there. It's hard to live like this. When all the money comes in and all the money goes out, and only the names are changed to protect the innocent. Your checkbook sounds like a wind tunnel. Whew, straight through. And one old boy, he said, I just want direct deposit to the grocery store. It all goes over there anyway. Car payments. Fleeced your car. You got MasterCard. Who named that anyway? You discovered bondage or American distress? It's real, isn't it? It's real. People got a student loan that's been around so long they think it's a pet. But what would it be like to have no payments? What would it be like to make the decision that I'm going to get completely out of debt? You know, I got rid of my credit cards after I went broke. Number one, they took them. But number two, I never went back and got them again. Because, you know, I got to talking to millionaires, and I've talked to thousands of millionaires in my life. I have never met a millionaire who said, Dave, you know, I made it all with my Discover points. Those airline miles, that was my breakthrough financial moment. I have never heard that, and yet I have met with hundreds of thousands of families who have been less than blessed by these things, to the point you could even say they were cursed. Well, you can use them responsibly. Well, yeah, you can use a lot of stuff responsibly. It's stupid. And that's your rationalization. I have debit cards, one on my business, one on my personal account, and it turns out they do everything your credit card will do except put you in debt. The only problem is you have to have the money. You can't buy stuff you don't have. We'll get to that in a minute. So we just said goodbye to Home Depot. See you later, JCPenney's. Buy Sears. We'll have to buy your tools at the flea market. Victoria's Secret. They take cash. It's okay. It's okay. And so we went about the business of having plastic surgery. A plastectomy, if you will. And you know, the weird thing is, if you don't have any payments, breathe that in for just a second. What if you didn't have a car payment? You know, the average car payment in America today is $478 over 84 months. If you take $478 and invest that in a decent growth stock mutual fund from age 30 to age 70, you'll have $5.6 million. Hope you like the car. You're trapped by buying stuff you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't really like. Because there you sit in that $600 car payment at the stoplight going. Just impress somebody you'll never meet. That cost you $1,000 just then. You got to make a decision how you're going to live. And I figured this out to be true. When we went broke, the borrower truly is slave to the lender. And I decided I wasn't going to live that way anymore. And I drew a line in the sand and I said, I'm done. I got to tell you, it means you don't get to do some things that you really want to do. But it turns out if God wants you to do something, he'll send you the money. Shut up. quit your whining. Really, because that's what debt is. It's financial whining, isn't it?
I want it.
Exactly what it is. And then you use these sophisticated words and language and intellect to completely rationalize it, and it feels all good to you, and everybody looks at you as going, you are so stupid. You look good, but you are dumb. And that's what's going on. And it's going on all around the world right now. It turns out that this is not some ancient scripture. It's the truth. It's how things work. The second one is you need to act your wage. You need to learn to live on less than you make. You are not in Congress. The Bible says it this way. It says, a foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, according to Scripture, you're a fool. Now, don't get mad at me. God said it. But I've been there. I've been a fool. And you don't want to be a biblical fool. This is not a greeting like, hey, fool, okay? This is like, when you read about a biblical fool in Proverbs, This is somebody who hadn't got a chance. And you don't have a chance if you spend everything you make. You have to learn to live on less than you make. And you know, that leads you to the scripture that says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, contentment is probably the most powerful financial principle there is. Because if you're okay with your car, if you're okay with your clothes, if you're okay with your house, if you're okay, suddenly you can just kind of calm down and the debt starts going away and the savings can come and the giving will happen and life starts flowing the way it's supposed to. But instead, we are in the feverish acquisition mode all around the world. Give me. And we don't think we've got the gimmies. We don't feel like one of those four-year-old kids that we say, you had the gimmies. We don't say that to ourselves, but that's the way our culture has been acting and reacting. And I've done it too. I've done it with zeros on the end, so I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying it doesn't work because you're a fool. And fools don't prosper. So act your wage. It's the only chance you got. And then we need to get on a budget. If you worked for a company called You Incorporated and you manage money for You Incorporated the way you manage money for you now, would you fire you? Don't answer that. If your job was to manage money, I mean, it's amazing to me. People do stupid stuff and then they say, Lord, bless me. And God's going, uh-uh. No, I mean, if you read the parable of the talents, those that manage well get to do more. That's what it says. If you take care of the little things, you're trustworthy to others. I got 250 people working on my team right now. If I got somebody misbehaves in the little things, you think I promote them to run the whole deal? I mean, if you're working at Burger King and you do a great job, you know, they'll promote you from fries to Whopper Flopper, right? And if you keep going and do a bad job, do you think you get to be regional manager? No, you get go back to the fries if you do a bad job. I've got a teenage son, and I've been teaching him to drive over the last many, many years, and he's been driving now for a couple of years, and we're doing pretty good with it, and so far no problems and lots of threats from Dad. But, you know, when he's 16 years old, you know what he is behind the wheel? Incompetent. Okay? The state will give him a license, but that doesn't make him competent. So you think I'm giving this boy a Viper? You think he's getting a new Corvette and go from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds? No, he gets a 92 Chevette. You know? Give him something he can't hurt himself with because he's not competent. You know why? Because I'm a loving father. I'm only going to give him what he can handle and has shown competence to handle. Because if he's not competent to handle it, it won't be a blessing to him. Oh, he'd be excited to get a brand new Corvette. But that doesn't mean it'd be a blessing. He'd probably kill himself in it or somebody else worse. You know? And so, you know, your loving father is not going to give you stuff that will harm you. And if you can't handle a little bit of money, he's not going to give you a bunch of it. You'll look like you won the lotto and be bankrupt in 5 years. Get out of control with yourself. So, got to get on a plan. Jesus said it this way. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he has enough to finish it? Lest he get halfway up and is unable to finish. And all who see him began to mock him and say, this man began to build and was unable to finish. You better have a plan. Or you'll get halfway up and you'll be unable to finish. That's Jesus. Read it, red letters. That's the man talking. Don't build it. You wouldn't build a house without a blueprint. If you hired a contractor to build a $4 million house and he laid out a paper bag on the front of his truck and said, we're just going to do it like this and started sketching. You'd be going, no. Next. And that's exactly what God does. See, in your working lifetime, you're going to handle $4 or $5 million, $6 million, $10 million. Act like it. Be responsible. Be an adult. On paper, on purpose, before the month begins. Sit down, give every dollar a name, and agree on it with your spouse for those of you that are married. You got to do it. You won't win unless you do. The next one is you have to learn to save money. If you don't save money, you'll be broke your whole life. See, for years, I was really good at earning money, but I wasn't good at handling money, so I tried to out-earn my stupidity. Yeah, that's happened to other people, I can tell. You can't out-earn your stupidity. You have to learn to save money. And we teach people to save money for three basic things. Number one, we teach them to save for an emergency fund. Now, Grandma said that. Grandma said to save for a rainy day. Visual aid. You need to save for a rainy day. You know why? It's going to rain. Get ready. Money Magazine says 78% of you will have a major negative financial event in any given 10-year period of time in your life. Something's going to happen. The transmission's going to go out. A kid's going to get sick. Aunt Gertie's going to die, and we got a barrier. Something's going to come up. You're going to get laid off. The unexpected pregnancy, which has always kind of tickled me. But here's the deal. You better be ready. Life's coming. It's coming. And if you hadn't lived long enough for life to knock you over, I'm just here to warn you. I'm an old guy. It's going to knock you over. And it's kind of cool if life shows up and you have money. Because you know what this is? It's Murphy repellent. You know who Murphy is? If it can go wrong, it will. When you have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses set aside, Murphy will leave you alone. He will visit your neighbors. Have you ever noticed that when you're broke is when everything goes wrong? Your life looks like a country song? But when you put $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, whatever 3 to 6 months of expenses is, because that ought to be your emergency fund, between you and life, life says, that one's ready, I'll leave him alone. And he backs off. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. Wise people save choice food and oil. You're wise if you save. You're a fool if you devour all you have. You're getting the parallels here, the perpendiculars here. They're all here for you. God's just being real plain. He's telling you, kiddo, I love you, and this is your little instruction book. If you do it this way, it works. If you don't do it, it doesn't. Now, it's not a sin if you don't. Debt is not a sin. It's biblically stupid. But it's not a salvation issue. It's your father going, what am I going to do? That's one of my stupid kids. You know? The second thing you need to save for, other than emergencies, is you need to save up and pay cash for things. If you pay cash for things, you know what happens? You spend less. If you take 10 or 15 Uncle Benjamin Franklin's $100 bills and put those in your pocket, you carry them around a little while, you become kind of attached to them. It's kind of like Uncle Ben. It's part of the family, right? And then you just go, you get ready to spend something, you lay one of these things down, you have an ouchie moment. It's like, I don't think I want that. Completely changes the whole equation. McDonald's did focus group studies, and they found with credit cards that you spend 47% more out of McDonald's than if you spend with cash. You know why? Because it hurts. You stand there with that plastic going, okay, supersize that, give me the apple pie, and I'll pay for hits. Right? You walk up with this thing, you're like, dollar menu, you're on your own. Changes the whole perspective of things, doesn't it? When you spend this, you feel it. There's an emotional attachment to this. And Dun & Bradstreet did a study on other things that says you spend 12 to 18% less than when you spend with plastic. Buy with cash. Plus, you can kind of just go in the stereo store and walk around. And they'll go, oh, well, can we help you? Yeah, I bet you get service, don't you? And then you go up to pay, and the little guy goes, whoa, dude, like, this one's got real money. Get the manager. I don't know how to ring this up. But you can get a deal doing this, can't you? It embarrasses my wife. She says, you embarrass me. Well, that's just a side benefit of the process. And guess what? If you save money, you also learn to invest money. Do you know $100 a month invested in a decent growth stock mutual fund from age 30 to age 70 is $1,176,000? Pizza and cable money, and you can retire with dignity. For what we spend on lattes, you can avoid retiring and buying the cookbook 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Love It. Invest for your future. Invest for your kids' college. Invest. But you don't have any money to invest if you didn't have money for emergencies. And if you hadn't stayed out of debt. And if you're not on a plan. See how these things start to work together? If you start working a simple system like this and you really do it, it'll rock your world. It'll change everything, and it'll allow you to do the last one. And that's give. Oh, this is the best thing you can do with money. This is the most fun there is with money. Now, you know, certainly you can tithe to your local church. That's the basics. We start there, right? But, I mean, you get a little bit of money, you can have some fun. Got a lady working on our team. And she, we give out profit-sharing bonuses. We share our profits. What a neat idea with the people that work for us. And you know, her bonus every month, she's been with us a while, is $300-$500 a month, depending on how good our profits are. She does pretty good just on the bonus, you know. And she and her husband decided a few years ago, they're not rich people, but she decided that they were going to start a ministry. And what they do is they take their profit-sharing check, and they cash it in cash, and they go to the local Waffle House. And they pray before they go in that God will seat them at somebody's seat that waits on them that needs some help. She said the first time we did it, we went in there, and the little lady was pregnant. And she's like, thank you, God. Because listen, if you're pregnant and you're working in Waffle House, you know what? You need a job. This is somebody's working because they need to. You know? No, not picking on Waffle House or anything, but that's tough work, right? Can you imagine what happened when they left a $400 tip and went to the car? How fun is that? Dave, thanks so much for sharing the profits with us. My husband and I are having so much fun. We decided, based on a suggestion of you last Thanksgiving, to create our Waffle House ministry. We take money from the profit sharing, set it aside, and then we pray for God to give us wisdom and place a person that needs the extra money as our waitress. Then we enjoy a fun meal, leave a big tip, and leave feeling giddy. The last waitress we had was very young and very pregnant, and as soon as she walked up to our table, I thought, wow, God, this is going to be so cool for her. Is that broke people can't do that. People that don't live on a plan and have a bunch of payments can't do that. People that don't save money can't do that. We've got forums on our website at My Total Money Makeover, and the people with the forums all write in and stuff. And one of the ladies wrote this in the other day. She sent this to us. She says, I bought my husband, who's a captain in Iraq right now, a 97 Mazda Miata. So when he comes home from Iraq, it'll be here. It has 108,000 miles on it. I paid $2,800 for it. Fully aware it needed repairs, and I had budgeted about $3,000 for the repairs. I posted a picture on the Total Money Makeover boards because it's our first cash car, and it's so not like the hoopties that we hear about. A couple days later, I received a FedEx envelope from a member of the TMMO board. Inside was a heartfelt letter and a check for $1,000 to go towards the repairs. This was from someone who had gotten out of debt and was living on a plan. They were living like no one else, and now they were able to live like no one else. I can't begin to tell you the impact that had on me, having had a really hard year with my husband gone, and especially hard month this month. The gift wiped away so much pain and bitterness for a military wife. $1,000. That's a big hit for $1,000. I mean, there are people that drop $1,000,000 on something and don't get that much fun, or as much fun as $400 on a waitress. Oh, my gosh. It'll change your world. It'll rock your world. But you can't do all of these things unless you do all of these things. You can't just get out of debt. You got to save. You can't just save if you don't get out of debt. If you don't have a written plan, it's not going to work. It all weaves together, people. This is how it works. You know why? Because God's not concerned about your money. He doesn't care about your money. He cares about you. He's crazy about you. He's got a plan for you. And he's saying to you, my children, this is how you live. And if you'll live this way, you'll win. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to change the person in your mirror. He wants you to be a better person. Goodness gracious. He wants you to win at a level you've never won before. I mean, how many of us that have kids? I mean, we want good things for our kids, and if we being evil do that, how much more so our Father in heaven? Wow. He's got a game plan for your money. How whacked is that? And it works every single time without fail. Every time you work this, it'll work. Does it work without any bumps in the road? No. Being a servant doesn't work without any bumps in the road, but it is the way to live your life, right? So there's bumps in the road. Get ready. There's going to be people that make fun of you. Broke people will make fun of your plan, which is always a good sign, by the way. If broke people are making fun of your financial plan, that's like fat people making fun of your exercise plan. You know, this is encouraging. So think this through. God has a game plan. Do these basic things over and over. Get out of debt. Act your wage. Live on a written plan. Learn to save because you're going to need it. And then most of all, become an awesome, out of control, abundant mentality giver. Ah, that's when the whole thing, that's when you know you hit it. That's when you know you hit the sweet spot and the ball's going out of the park. You can feel it then. I encourage you. It's not an easy trip, but it's a trip worth taking. God says to live like no one else so that later you get to live like no one else. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness. It works every time. If you pay a price to win, take these five things and go change your world.
Man, don't you? I know he's not standing here, but don't you want to give that up for Dave? That is great teaching. Now you know why I had to bring that to you, church. So put your eyes on your notes. Put them directly in front of you right now. Take a look. What's the conversation? It's at the bottom of your notes. What's the conversation you need to now have with yourself or with your spouse? Is it right there on the whole debt thing? You're just in unmanageable debt. Maybe it's the whole credit card deal. Maybe it's budget. It's like, quit talking about it. You got to get on a budget. Maybe you need to go to www.DaveRamsey.com and get some tools. Get in on this. You can't keep skipping, cheating. It's costing you. God has more for you. Maybe it's this whole save. Oh, I can't save much, but you know what? You got to get started. However little it is, you need to start paying yourself. Maybe give is really at the top of your list. This whole honoring God, first fruits thing, being about others, something bigger than you. Like Dave said, this is 20% head knowledge, 80% habits. And if you don't go do something with this, nothing is going to change. Every year we take a season to have an honest to God conversation about money. And you got to do something with this. I can tell you this. I can tell you one practical thing we could all work on. That coveting thing gets in us and tends to own us without paying attention to it. I've often thought that Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, that might ought to be applied to the whole coveting and people's financial wins and losses. Here's what I mean. It'd be a powerful thing if we could rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But you know what I think is more like us when we get sick and petty? That we weep with those who rejoice. We get the whole thing backwards. Someone does well and they break through and we just kind of have sorrow and kind of weep. Oh, man. We can't be happy for somebody else who wins. I mean, when somebody else wins because they've done discipline, I'm not talking they steal from God and they cheat and they're foolish and irresponsible and they just get something in a moment. No. I'm talking about when somebody's worked hard and God rewards them and they've done well and they get, man, you got to be able to rejoice. Celebrate with somebody who wins. And when somebody loses, many times we rejoice with those who weep. Man, God forgive us. That's just sad. Somebody does well and we're like, because we didn't do well or we didn't get something. We're going to whine about it, not be happy for something. Oh, man. I mean, we just need to get beyond pettiness. Get to some godliness. and let God do the work in us that needs to be done. What's the work that God wants to do in you? Don't just say, oh, man, that was great. Dave Ramsey, did you hear Dave Ramsey? Oh, it was good. And do nothing. In fact, I want to pray for you. Bow your heads with me. Here in this room, cafe, theater, bow your heads with me. And out of respect, if not because you believe in God or for yourself, at least for those around you. Because I want to pray through those things. And if as we hit one of those, if that applies to you and you're saying, oh, God, I want you to help me in this, then I'm going to invite you to very briefly raise your hand up and down. It's not for anybody else. It's just between you and God. But you're saying, God, include me. I want to be in this prayer. So, Father, oh, gracious God, so often we disconnect finances from you. It's funny how we become afraid of bringing finances under your lordship, as if we lose, when in fact, it's the only way we win. And so, Father, I want to pray for our church family. I want to pray for all who's gathered right now who would receive this prayer. First of all, Lord, I want to pray for those who would just say, I need to pay attention and deal with my coveting or my contentment. If that's you, just hand up and down briefly. You say, if that's you, God, you know who we are. We're just saying it right now, hand up and down and saying, God, you know me. I can get caught in that. I can become petty. I'm not content. God, would you help form something deeper and grateful in me? I just get bombarded in this world that makes me want and obsess over things that I ultimately know wouldn't bring me happiness. God, reform this in me by your Spirit. Do a deep work. Some of us need to get a grip on our credit cards and debt. Is that you? You just want to be prayed for? Just hand up and down. God, for those who are just saying, I'm in that group. Oh, plastectomy, God. Something we need to get a hold of here. Quit sliding the card and start bringing debt into a manageable arena and get on a long-term plan to get out of debt. Father, would you give us wisdom in that? Would you give us conversations with husbands and wives, with ourselves, with family that says, you know what? We're going to start putting boundaries on this. In fact, for some of us, it's budget. Man, you need to get on a budget. You need God to help you. Hand up, down. Say, God, you know I'm in this group. There's a discipline and a cost to this and a demand on this. God, I need your help. Father, some of us are just going to raise our hands and say, I need help in the whole savings thing. That's where I am. And I need to own this. I let it come in. I let it ride out. Don't live below my means. And I'm asking you to protect a future that I'm not being responsible for. And I'm saying right now, God, me and you, I'm going to start owning this. For others of us, God, and this is a courageous one. Hand up or down, you need to help me in giving, God. Hand up, down. That's us. In fact, some of us, God, wouldn't be willing to raise our hand because we're a little embarrassed. Some of us just shy to confess that this is yours and every good thing comes from you. And some of us have honored you with tithe for a season of time and then we just drift from it. We get into our own world, we make it about us, and then we still want you to help us. God, for this is going to be a breakthrough. We need our lives to be centered in you and about others more than us. Father, whatever is our need, I just want to ask that you would do two things for us. You would give us unusual courage. I'm praying for you, church. God, would you give us unusual courage, the courage to have conversations with you, with our spouse, with ourselves, that we tend to leave behind, stay blind to, leave undiscussed, and it's costing us. And then, God, a second thing, would you give us consistency? Man, God, we need to do this longer than a weekend. This is a breakthrough, but we need it to be consistent. Would you form this in us? Would you help us walk in it, fight for it, stand in it? God, would you supernaturally give us strength we don't have? And I pray, Lord, that this would be a major breakthrough season for us. Thanks for the teaching of your word. May we become people that walk in it well, I pray, in Christ's name. And everyone agreed, saying, amen. God wants to do more. May we walk well in this. By the way, next weekend, not only a guest weekend.